fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I've been talking this week about mostly for the teaching of St. Peter from his first letter, who's helping brothers and sisters who are living in what is now Turkey, in Asia Minor, young communities that have been growing up under his pastoral care, and they're marginalized people, they're persecuted, they're living under trial, they're so different than the world around them because of the transformation of what Christ has done in them. They're becoming a new creation. And they're realizing, as St. Peter says, they're having to put off their former way of life, and the Holy Spirit's giving them the ability, the power, to now love each other as a family, and to share Jesus together in communion in the church and the sacraments and the preaching and the love and the service of the communion of the people of God. And they're filled with that new love and new life. And he's helping them and he's exhorting them in his wisdom as a teacher, as an apostle. He's warning them not to be conformed to their former passions. That don't forget, don't be surprised, he'll say in verse 4, that don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that you're undergoing. Remember what this world is. And remember who you are. This world will never be your home. We ended yesterday, as a matter of fact, in verse 17 there where he's talking about, I'll just read it. It said, "And if you invoke as Father him who judges each one impartially according to his deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile." This is an image that he's reminding the brethren that the church, really, the fulfillment of all that God was doing in the people of Israel is like Israel. It's like Abraham, those who sojourned. Abraham was a nomad of faith. He wandered in the desert, leading his people toward the promised land. That's the nature of what it means to be a follower of Jesus as well. Christians have no final dwelling among the nations here. We know our life here is going to be short. The image of being in exile is crucial for us to be able to internalize, because we know this is not our home, and that in this world, we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. In some ways, Jesus is sending us out to this world. And as disciples, we live obedient to him, and we give him permission to lead us anywhere he wants to lead us. We know ultimately he has a hold of us. Jesus has gripped our lives. He will never let us go. Every single person listening to the program today, if you're baptized, he's laid hold of you. You've opened your heart to him. He's going to complete in you the work he's begun. It doesn't matter how much you're struggling. It doesn't matter how weak you are, how simple your life is, or what mountain you may be standing on right now. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you belong to him now. You belong to Jesus Christ. As St. Paul says, we make it our aim to please him now. St. Peter began this letter by saying, we've been given the Holy Spirit who set us apart to belong to Christ, and so that we would now live in obedience to Jesus. So you say, what is my life all about? What's the point of my life here in this world? Did God just create it? You know, the clockmaker spun it out, go have at it. He doesn't have any involvement. We're supposed to just do whatever it is we want to do in this world, create whatever we want to create for ourselves, and then we die, and then we go to heaven or whatever. No, we live with Christ here now. We belong to him. And the apostles show us, what did they do when they surrendered their lives to Christ and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Their entire life was set on pleasing God. And in their case, it led to martyrdom. It led to death. Their focus wasn't, okay, Christ is with me. Now, I'm going to go do all those fun things I want to do, and he's going to make me prosper, and he's going to make me happy, and he's going to give me lots of stuff in this world, and I'm going to have just so much fun in this world with so much stuff, because he loves me so much, he's going to give it all to me, and our preoccupation becomes me and my stuff and my own personal happiness. That's completely turning the gospel upside down. A disciple has already received his treasure. The treasure is Christ. He's the pearl of great price. Remember, the guy sold the entire field. He sold everything for that pearl because he knows this is what I long for. This is what my heart desires. this is the place of fulfillment for me. The happiness, the peace, the joy I desire that I think things in this world are going to give me. No, it's not going to work. It's a gift. It's Him. He's my treasure. He's my Lord. He's my creator. So now I realize, hey, my whole life now, the point of my life is to obey Him. Yeah, that's what I want to do. It's not a matter of compulsion, being forced from the outside or being dragged along to do something I really don't want to do. It's not even really, friends, about the commandments, though obeying Jesus is going to lead us to fulfill the commandments, but it's about loving Him radically and being faithful, being loyal to Him, being His great friend, being His brother, being everything He's meant you to be, and He's making you. Love knows no fatigue, St. Augustine said. Following of Jesus and the apostles lived very demanding, challenging lives. They gave it all. They had their nights, I'm sure they were fatigued, but love drove them. Love for Jesus. It wasn't them just perfecting themselves. It was them living with Jesus day and night and knowing what He loved and knowing what He commanded and seeking to conform their lives precisely to all that Jesus was calling them to do. So Peter goes on, he's saying, yeah, that reverent fear and awe of God that gives you wisdom on how to live. That's how I ended the program yesterday. It's so important because we're in exile here. I'm not expecting the world to be my home. I know a lot of bad stuff happens in this world. I want to make a contribution to this world to help it be as much conformed to Christ as I can. But at the end of the day, I'm not surprised at the constant chaos and the seductions and the violence and the confusion and the disappointments and all that that's in the world. This is not my home. This is a battlefield. And the battle is over a fight for eternal souls. We can see it when we're in Christ. Verse 18, he says, you know that you were ransomed from your futile ways that you inherited from your fathers. You were ransomed. It's a way of describing of redemption or buying something back in a marketplace, like in the old days, buying goods or even slaves, buying them out of slavery by a specific monetary price. They're paid for it. They now belong to me. I bought them out. That's an image. Jesus ransomed us. Jesus ransomed you and ransomed me from the bondage to that futile way of thinking. All the stuff that can dominate our minds in slavery to fear and alienation, isolation, fear of getting ahead, of not being enough, a preoccupation with my own comfort, preoccupation with my own glory, preoccupation with so many things, filled with anxieties, our minds and hearts. It's all part of our former way of living and being. Jesus said, don't be anxious about anything, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Peter said, because you've been ransomed and bought out of that former pattern of life, you don't have to live that way anymore. He says, now you've been born not of a perishable silver and gold. That's not how you were bought. But you were bought by the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. There's reference there, of course, to the Day of Atonement, Passover, all these images from the New Testament of lambs that were sacrificed to purify the people of God, to allow them to draw near to God. Jesus Christ, they all pointed toward the death of Jesus, who literally is the sacrifice for our sin. Friends, every single person that's born into this world is born into this battle against sin. Everybody shares in and participates in the sin of Adam and Eve, the refusal to set God at the heart, to live in a fallen world and to be dominated by that world and to resist God. Me first, my will be done, not God's will be done. That's the battle we're all born into. Every single person is in need of a Savior. Everybody needs the Savior, Jesus Christ, who will buy us out of that condition of slavery and to bring us into a new way of life. We are His possession because He purchased us with His own blood. And this is a gift. This is not some kind of slavery, some kind of burden. This is freedom itself. This is the quintessence of freedom and joy. This is the only hope for the human race, is what it is. You're bought by the precious blood of Christ. That's a good thing to say to ourselves when we're having a tough day. feels like our life is going nowhere. I've been purchased at a price. I belong to Jesus Christ. He shed his blood so that he could live with me. I could live with him. And with the new family, the new humanity that he's building, that he's establishing, this new race of people that Peter will talk about later in this letter. We'll pick it up next week. He says in verse 20, he was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the times for your sake. In the fullness of time, St. Paul says in Galatians, you know, God's plan was revealed in Jesus Christ. He was destined to be the Savior of the world, the plan of God. But it came to be at this time, this historic moment. Jesus became the Son of Mary, you know, born of a virgin. It's that man who died on a cross. It's that man who's the God-man who broke the powers of all of that slavery over the human race and gives us a chance to be part of a new humanity. It's a new life. It's his gift. And he goes on to verse 21. Through him you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. That's a beautiful, beautiful line. Here's Peter saying, here's who you are. Here's how you live now. You've got confidence. Friends, do you have confidence in God? Do you have confidence that God is your Father? That he's near to you? That he will never forsake you? He'll never abandon you? Friends, maybe you're tuning in today and you're not baptized into Christ. You're not a believer in Jesus. This is the essence of Christianity right here that we're talking about today. And I offer it to you to consider it. God the Father, God made you. He made you for a purpose, to be in his family, to live with him forever. And you know, in your moments of greatest honor, there's something in you that's alienated, that's disconnected, that disorder, that's not working right. You're drawn to things and you've done things you wish you never could have done. That's because, like every other person, you are battling against sin. You're battling in a world that resists God. And Jesus has come to say, look, this is the reality. Sin separates us from God, and therefore we have no hope, because to be separated from God is to be destined, literally destined for eternal separation, which Christians call hell. Jesus told us about it. Jesus said, I've come to take away your sin. Give it to me. I want to nail it on the cross. I want to take it to my cross. Everything in you that resists God, everything in you that you've ever done that you're ashamed of, Jesus wants to take it away. And he wants to reveal the Father's love to you. He wants you to accept his diagnosis of your life and your heart, that you stand in need of having your sins forgiven, and that you want to become a new creation in him. Open your heart today. Just say, Jesus, come and help me. I want to become a new creation. Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I want to become your son, your brother. Help me. Lead me. Where should I go? Go to the nearest Catholic church you can find. Knock on the door. Tell a priest. God's stirring in your heart. You want to know all about Jesus. He'll help you. He'll help bring you home. Friends, we're going to take this up more next week. There's so much here that's life transforming, and that's for you. Remember, you are chosen and destined by God to share in Christ's glory.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.